Welcome to the Nerd Out and Workout Podcast.
Everyone, this is Coach Austin, and coming to you with Hyper Strength and Conditioning with your Nerd Out and Workout Podcast, where we nerd out and work out and podcast. And today, we are joined by the ever so lovely Andrew De La Cruz, owner and head coach of Axios Strength and Conditioning, located in Gilroy, California. Hey, Coach Andrew, welcome to the podcast, and please introduce yourself.
Well, you already introduced my name, but this is...
Again!
it's great to be on the podcast. You know, it's been a while. I love, like, you know, I love connecting back with the Nerd Out Workout Squad again. So it's... thanks for allowing me, you know, to podcast with you. Is that the word? Podcasting?
It's like a verb and a word and a noun and an adjective.
Got it. So words. I know some words. Of these words.
I know those words. I know some of these words. Where's that from? Is that from Good Burger? Yeah, it's from Good Burger.
Yeah, it was when he's holding his like. I know some of these words.
I know some of these words. All right, so we are going to be talking about the whole situation with the coronavirus as far as the extended shelter in, seeing like we're not going to see a lot of gatherings and stuff, and being gym owners ourselves, how it's affecting specifically the fitness and health and wellness in the gym environment and the industry. And we're going to be talking about that, how we're dealing with it more so, and how we're getting through it and all the challenges and adversity we're breaking through and making it a better day, because everyone right now is kind of like doom and gloom, and there's so much bad, like, yeah, there's so much negative news out there. And you know, you guys want to listen to some of the cool things we're doing amidst all this chaos. Everything's fine. This is all fine.
I just watched that episode of Friends when Rachel and Joey like told Ross, and he's like, I'm fine.
Why are you talking like that? I'm fine. I'm so fine.
Hot plate.
Oh, Friends is such a great, if for people who haven't seen Friends yet,
this is the time to do it.
It'll get your spirits up, especially if you're between the ages of 24 and 35.
Yeah.
Cause that's actually so relatable. And it's so funny because like, you don't even notice it, but they're like, obviously when they made it, it's like, they don't have smartphones.
No.
You know? So it's like, but it's like when you watch it, you don't even realize that until, well, I don't know. That's, I grew up watching it, but I don't know about the younger kids. They're probably like, what's going on? I don't get it. But do they have, what's that weird phone thing with the wire they're using? Apartments and all that. So, Andrew, what's going on, man? What's cracking? How are you dealing with the sheltered in place in Gilroy?
Well, it's a little bit, I mean, you know, coming in a small town, you know, I've been able to, like, you know, when I go to Safeway, like, Gilroy is known for a lot of small businesses, including myself. So it's kind of seeing a lot of the small businesses, like, a lot of restaurants are starting to thrive. So, I mean, because they can still do like the takeout, like they can do DoorDash and all that. But, you know, I've also seen where we're located, a lot of the other small businesses, like, you know, they're shut down. So being a non-essential business, it's been kind of hard. You know, you have to try and keep all your members like very motivated to like try to do something. For our gym specifically, you know, majority of our members are high school athletes. So it was trying to make sure, you know, I have to tell them, you know, hey, make sure you're staying on top of your schoolwork. But also, you don't know, because I think only two leagues in the CCS have announced that they're closing out the season. So since our league out here in Gilroy hasn't said anything yet, I just told him, like, you know, we need to be prepared for anything. You know, same thing with, you know, my athletes over at MIDI, because, you know, I have some of them that train too. It's trying to just keep everybody prepared, because you never know. And that's, I think that's the one thing that is scary. I know you brought up the whole thing about, like, you know, there's like a fear to it, right? But you have to be prepared for anything. Like, can the shelter in place be lifted earlier? Absolutely. Can it be extended? Yeah, absolutely. So there's two sides to the coin that we actually just don't know what side's going to land. So it's better to be prepared than all of a sudden they say, like, oh, you guys are good. And then you're like, oh, what do I do?
I didn't know what else. I thought we were still staying at home.
No, you guys can go train now. Oh, crap. You have a meet tomorrow. Ah. So
that would be really interesting if they actually had a meet after everything was all lifted up. All right, guys, we're just going to make you compete now.
Yeah. That would be
gather everyone, entertain me.
So
I demand entertainment.
Oh God.
I want you to run as fast as you can while you've just been sitting in your house for 30 days straight. Hey, how are the kids though? Like, I know our kids in Evergreen, they've kind of hitting me up for like some at-home workouts, but are they like, how's their morale? Are they hitting you up? Like, hey coach, can you give me something to do? Hey coach.
Yeah.
Then they like follow you on Instagram. They're like, hey man, what are you doing? not just your gym, but like your personal. They like find you on Brew Personal.
Oh yeah, I think all the kids, all they've known is just like, you know, the gym page, right? And then all of a sudden,
they find you.
I have all these. I got like, I think in the first week of the whole shelter in place, I had like 25 new followers. And I was like, who the hell is all this?
Is these fucking young athletes? Like, how the fuck did you find me?
And then I was like, these are all football players and track athletes. I was like, what just happened?
When one finds you, they tell the rest. Oh, it's hilarious, dude. And then, has any of them like challenged you on these like full fitness challenge on their stories? Like, hey, coach.
Yeah.
Do this. It's like, come on, kid. Okay.
I was like, I am tired of these like push-up challenges. I was like, you know what? Like every time I get tagged on it, I was like, yeah. My response now is like, because I was starting to do the live classes. I was like, how about you do the live class with me? Because I'm pretty sure I did more push-ups than you the whole entire time. So get off me right now. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because like this is like the most like these kids have talked to me now when I was there in person. So it's kind of
like DMing you, and you're like, hey coach, can I get this? Can I get that? What are you doing? What's going on? It's like, stop. I'm not there.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of morale, like a lot of like, you know, football players, I think in difference of sports, I think football players are usually like just naturally motivated to just kind of just, you know, being ex-football players, like, you know, we dedicate so much of our time and pretty much like our life to the sport. So a lot of the football players have like been asking, like, you know, hey, what can I go do? I've given them like, you know, the home workouts to do at home. And then a lot of them have been doing it. A lot of them actually say, like, you know, I feel a lot more flexible. I feel like, you know, I want to go out for a run. Some of them, like, I even on our home workouts, I actually put running workouts on there for them. So a lot of them have been going on runs. They said, like, you know, I think two of them said, like, they dropped their mile time. And I was like, that's amazing, even though you don't have to do that in a football game, but that means your conditioning is getting better. So there's, like, little tidbits here and there that are, like, starting to work, especially with the public school. Now, with the private school system, like, so for our listeners, you know, I coach at a public school and a private school. It's kind of weird. Well, I can't do both. So the public school kids come to the gym, but I coach at a private school.
So now you coach at a private school, and where is that at?
I coach at Archbishop Mitty. I am the head jumps coach for track and
field. Archbishop Mitty. What's your logos? What's the mascot? Just letters?
No, it's monarchs. We're not butterflies.
Monarchs.
It's a lion.
We're not butterflies.
I just have to say
it. I like how you just have to say that. We're not butterflies, guys.
Yeah, like kings.
We're kings.
king. So they
monarchs.
So our I know. Yeah, a monarchy.
We're not
so,
fucking not, butterflies.
Not butterflies, but we are. I mean, our mascot is a lion. But with the private schools, you know, it really is more of just trying to keep the kids motivated, like just by words. Like we can't have too much like interaction with them. Like we meet with them once a week since the whole shelter in place has been in effect. We talk to them every Monday.
So how do you meet with them?
We do a Zoom call with them. Once the Zoom call, it's literally just like a Q&A. Like they just ask questions. We try to give them answers. We can share with them public links of movements and videos of like past performances of like other athletes, but we can't give them direct access to anything that we have created or made. That has to come directly from the strength team that's actually with the school, which I think it's okay. You know, I think it's okay at that point. I mean, you know, this is their job to do that. And, you know,
don't overstep.
No, don't want to overstep, but you know, definitely like do take, they have started taking a lot of the, you know, some recommendations or like some like suggestions, like if you have it as a coach, then they'll listen. So, you know, that's just kind of how it works. But, you know, but just being on that side of morale, like just trying to keep that morale up I think that's where it gets tricky. And you can kind of segue that to like, you know, how it is with like, you know, I think with general people, like, you know, at our gyms, like, you know, not necessarily like both of our gyms, but like in gyms altogether, it's like, how do you increase the morale if like, you know, you don't have that ability to give somebody something, right? Or I feel like you can only be super motivating to a point, and then you really have to like put it on that person.
You know, I agree with that. What's that saying? You could only lead a horse to water, can't make them drink.
Yeah.
You could shove their face into the water and water will go into their lungs.
Yeah, but then that's harassment.
It's harassment. It's harassment at that point. Motivational harassment. Let's fucking do it, little bitch!
I think this is a crime, but we're going to do it anyway.
That's actually a good point, though, with your general members. How are they taking this whole thing? How are you dealing with this whole thing? Because I'm sure you're a part of all these like gym support groups now with all these owners and head coaches. And, you know, I was talking about this the other day with another interview, and there's like three types of coaches that I've seen. There's the ones that panic. There's the ones that are passive and just go like, oh, I got savings, I'm good. Like, and the third one is like, this is what we're doing. This is what I got to do. Like, this is what you're like dialed in. As far as like members, because you have not only like high school, I don't know if you agree with me, but I feel like high school athletes are like, they're easier to kind of deal with. Like they're okay, coach, yeah, whatever you want me to do. But like with general members, like Gen Pop and all that stuff, professionals, it's a little different. You got to like finesse that a little bit. So how are you doing that?
It's more of like, you know, I've been spending the last couple of weeks, like, you know, just trying to check in with them, like, you know, kind of get a feel, because one, I don't know their outside of the gym life schedules, like how has that changed? You know, that's kind of the one that I'm starting to like feel it out. Like, you know, a lot of them are like, some of them are still working, some of them are not working. Some of them are getting like new jobs. Like they're trying to like become like an essential worker now. Like there's so many different things that like are happening and coming into play. So it's just trying to get like a feel of like where they're at first. Like, you know, I've been kind of doing that. So then I can take the next step. With them, I mean, like, you know, trying to do like, you know, the live class, like with them, or doing like, you know, one-on-one, like Zoom coaching with them. Like, but right now it's still just kind of like feel like where do all my general population members like stand right now? But the good thing is I don't have too many of those.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. So.
Oh yeah. Primarily you're all just high school athletes. So they're just moving and grooving right now.
Yeah. They're chilling. I would say like, if I were to put it like on like a percentage scale, it's 80% high school athletes, 10% lifters and then 10% general population.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. So they're doing like a lot of group training or personal training with you guys?
Yeah. So it's, I'm doing a lot more like, you know, one-on-one Zoom training, like, you know, with, for me, it's, you know, being like, you know, the main coach. It's a lot of the personal training falls on me. So it's just kind of like trying to just keep that going. I only have a few clientele, but I have a bunch of remote athletes too. So that aren't even in the state or like in within my general area. Like a lot of them actually live up north in like the Palo Alto area. So, I mean, that's a far drive from Palo Alto to Gilroy.
Yeah, but now you're like coaching them through Zoom now.
Yeah, so I coach them through Zoom, or we do like what they've been doing like since they started as a remote athlete with me, is they'll take videos of their lifts at home and then they just send it to me. So
what online softwares are you using to like help you become this efficient in virtual coaching now?
I use
MySpace.
I'm just kidding.
Go ahead.
Face space. Patent pending.
Hey, that's a good one. You should just Face space.
My book.
Buddy, sir. But anyway, sorry. You use Train Heroic.
So I use Train Heroic. I use Train Heroic quite a bit, especially for programming. And I use Coach's Eye from Huddle.
Huddle.
Yeah, so I have a Huddle account from being a football coach. So I use Coach's Eye very well, not really like religiously, but like if I really need to like break down someone's lift, like, and I've tried to like, and I feel like I I mansplained the entire like correction, then what I'll do is like, I'll actually like show them the slow motion video. And then like, I'll draw like the lines and diagrams on it. And they're like, this is what you're messing up. But that's kind of like, those are like the two main ones that I've used. And I use FaceTime. Does FaceTime count?
FaceTime, anything, Zoom, FaceTime.
Zoom, FaceTime, Train Heroic. With personal clients, I actually use True Coach.
Hey, that's what I'm trying to pitch. I tried to pitch my coaches on True Coach, and I was like the only one using it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great platform for personal training.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that because True Coach for one-on-ones is perfect.
It's perfect.
If you're doing like for probably like, you know, for like your high school is like, you know, for big groups of people, Train Heroic's perfect.
Yeah. I'm not going to throw 50 athletes in True Coach when like that maximizes my account, like capacity. I'm like, So yeah, Train Heroic is great. And I'm glad you said that. So Train Heroic is great for group class or group athletes and all that fun stuff. And like a bulk, like if you're just training a bulk of powerlifters, a bulk of weightlifters, a bulk of jumpers, throwers, running backs, receivers, forwards, guards, all these like different sports. You can even categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
With True Coach, it's like, it's a brand. You could brand your own app if you get like the big one. That's what we did. So what we're doing is we're testing out, because I did Train Heroic when back when you were with us, people, our coaches were so used to it that when I introduced True Coach for the personal clients, they're like, we don't understand. I'm like, just can we use this? And then like, now we gotta use Train Heroic. So we did Train Heroic, and then later, like when we did this shelter, and I'm like, all right, guys, let's try True Coach again. So now they're like, oh, okay.
And I'm assuming that like they realize like it's actually easier to use than
I hope so. We'll see their feedback this Saturday. I'm using it.
I think it's easier because have you tried the one-on-one feature on Train Heroic? It's it's okay. Like
I just like how True Coach, it's like it's, first of all, it's so easy to program, like, and then it's like, you don't even have to say anything. And on the email, it just sends the email like, hey, here's your workout. And then they do it. Or it's like, hey, you missed your workout. Hey, fool, missed your workout. Hey, get on your workout.
Exactly. And then when you're typing in like the exercises, like the video automatically pops up. You don't have to like, and every exercise has like an associated video that the people put on the database already.
Yeah. So, or you can just do it on your own. That's what we
do. And you can do it like right there. Like once you type it in, there's like the video, like create video. I was like, oh, that's amazing.
It's great.
I like
it. It's great. Yeah. We're totally on the same page. Yeah. So True Coach for personals, Train Heroic for groups.
For groups.
That's always great. I mean, that's kind of, it's hella funny because it's like you were already doing this even before this whole shelter in place, and everyone and their mom is just jumping into online training right now. It's hilarious because, and even with us, it's like we were kind of using it, but we weren't really jumping on until this whole shelter in place comes in. But it's really interesting to see other coaches, like sometimes it's just because in this situation, it's like you need to adapt or die, right? So get online, start coaching virtually. And some coaches just don't want to do it. And it's like interesting to be like, dude, there's like tools now. It's like, come on. There's like True Coach, there's Train Heroic, there's Zoom, there's FaceTime. It's like, I don't understand. So
yeah. So I mean, I think with like, you know, saying that, like, you know, I have like, I think when I made like the remote team like an actual like option, you know, like when I opened, like I was like, you know, I'm gonna open up this remote training, you know, I'm just gonna keep it open so that people can join in on. And you know, I kind of took that model from like so for people that don't know, like my gym is actually affiliated with California Strength.
California Strength.
So if you
Dave Spitz.
So we kind of modeled it after that, which is, you know, they have a really big like remote online presence with their lifting team. It's just so like, you know, you can feel like you're doing what they're doing inside the gym, but you don't have to be there. So I really took that one. Like that was probably like one of the biggest like things that I added to ours. And, you know, we actually have the ratio of in-house athletes to online athletes is actually 1-to-1. Like it's even. So it's pretty cool. So they even out. The remote athletes come in like once a week just to come, like, you know, so they can see me in person. But other than that, like they're pretty self-sufficient. They know exactly what everyone's doing. When they talk to each other like on the chats, like they all know what everyone's like going through. So it's cool to build that community out there, but it's just letting people know, like, you know, like, and other coaches know, like there is opportunity to do remote coaching. Like you, even regardless of like this whole like situation, like this has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm. It's just now that it's like a fucking influx of people now.
Yeah, but why is it? But I don't know if you've noticed it either. Like some coaches think like, oh, remote coaching, this is so hard. I don't know what to do. Like, what if they can't see me? What if it's just like this? And they're like, I can't see what you're doing. It's like, you don't have to like create the videos for them, create a series of things that you can do with them, make it simple for you and make it simple for them. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, no, it's not. I just feel like, it is, like I was saying, it's interesting how, it's frustrating to see like some coaches get in their own headspace. I truly feel like it stems from feeling like, oh, if I'm not there in person, then you're not getting a great session. It's like, no, bitch. Like, look at P90X, bro. Look at Insanity. Like, they're the ones who were like in the game. Not even look at Buds of Steel. Like, this was like virtual coaching, quote unquote, or like the follow along classes. Mm-hmm. Like, it was there for a while. That back in the 80s, back in the 90s, like it was like a thing. People felt connected to these people. And it's like, I don't understand why people are getting in their own headspace. Like, I can't transfer that into own. It's better when it's a Zoom Zoom thing, or because it's like it's personal, right? It's like you're in there, you're a human being, seeing them in the camera, seeing the way they move, and actually giving coaching cues. And I say this a lot, like you have to be physically visual now with, I guess, with Zoom coaching. Like you have to be like, you have to bend this like this, copy me. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? But it's like, I don't understand. Like, it's just people get in their own headspace and it's a shame. So people listening to this, coaches listening to this, if you feel frustrated, you feel you cannot deliver value through a virtual presence, you are wrong. You are wrong. Unless you feel so strongly about it, then I'm wrong about believing in you.
Damn,
like that. So I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who have that inkling of hope, like, I can't do this. I am a great trainer. I'm hungry now. Like, but yeah, no, that was a great point. So let's see. So you're doing the athletes. You got them all dialed in. Remote coaching's already been a program. You're already like kind of fine tuning everything. Interesting fun fact, ladies and gents. Coach Andrew actually had a prior gym before this gym as far as location wise. And what happened was he was running so fast in place in the first gym, it caught on fire. Please elaborate, Andrew.
Yeah, so ran too.
You're so fast, it's too fast, everything's getting hot.
Explosion. So if you really want to look at, like, you know, a small business owner that went through literally like a ringer that was in December. So it is like December, January, February, March. In the last four months, I went through the ringer. Unfortunately, like my last location, we got caught in this thing called transient arson, which means a homeless person created a Molotov and just threw it on the building.
Fucking idiot, dude.
Yeah, so.
They actually call that a transient?
Transient arson, which means you don't know who it is.
They didn't even catch him? They didn't see who it was?
Nope.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, so that, I mean, there's a lot of reports of like transient arson like happening like all the way up and down the Bay Area. Like they've just been happening. Like it's sometimes it's happening at like houses, but they've been attacking like, you know, businesses here and there. So I got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning in December, mid-December, and I saw my doors wide open with smoke coming out of the front door. And then I was just like, oh my God, what the hell just happened? And then as soon as I walked to the back of the gym where the main weight room is, I saw the garage door was ripped open with the jaws of life. I saw all the, what was it called? The insulation from the roof was singed and burned off from the ceiling. And then everything on one side of my gym was completely like covered in like the flame retardant foam. And just saw, like, you know, I just felt like my heart sank, like everything that I did. And so we had to close for 3.5 weeks, 3.5 weeks, about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. So at that time, like, we had to uproot everything, put everybody on hold because, you know, it was something out of our control. We had to pause all of our memberships, pause business, and then we had to move everything. But what happens is, like, you know, when you have like a fire, the fire department in the city, they can actually draw a line. So they drew a line pretty much in the half, like midway through my weight room. So half of the gym I could keep, the other half I had to kind of, yeah, I couldn't take anything from there.
Shut up, for real?
Yeah, it was yeah.
Oh, it's because like fire investigation or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So I lost a lot of, I lost my biggest equipment. I lost a rig, power rack, a bench, and then like a bunch of like flooring. So it was a big blow. So I lost a lot of equipment there. So then we had to move everything over to our new location. And then we were just trying to, like, you know, we went through the same exact thing. So this, like the way people are acting right now, like it's not something that I haven't gone through. Like everyone's like, what can I do in these like 3 weeks? Like, what do I do here? What is here? Like, you know, I actually started reaching out to, you know, like friends' gyms. Like I remember I called you, asked you if like, you know, some of my lifters can come lift over there.
Yeah. And no problem.
It was, you know, it was just trying to figure out like options for them. And even that, some of them, like, you know, they couldn't do it. So some of them were actually like, you know, hey, what's something that I can do at home that I can do instead? So did that with a couple of them. And then when we finally opened, we were like, cool. Yeah, we can, let's move. You know, we started rolling, and then all of a sudden they're like, all right, we got to close again.
Coronavirus.
Yeah, then coronavirus. And I was like, wow. We were literally only open for, when did this start? March 20th, like end of March, right?
For what? The shelter in?
Yeah.
We had to close down March 16th. I don't know about you guys.
We had to close March 16th.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So yeah, so we were open for 2.5 months.
Ah.
Yes. Actually, no, if you take away those first 2 weeks, because we didn't open until the first full week of January. So we were open for 2 months.
But it was a strong 2 months.
It was a strong 2 months. And yeah. then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, you have to close again. And I was like, oh, God damn it.
Coronavirus.
Yeah. And then now, like, you know, with no ending, like, you know, it's like, okay. Now what? Like, this is a little bit different. Circumstances are different. We can't rely on like, you know, neighboring places to like help us out. This time we got to be a little bit more creative. So as soon as it closed down, I tried to get like, you know, I launched our home workouts as soon as I could. I checked in with everybody, and then it's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah. So how long have we been locked down? You know, the days.
If it's the 16, let's see, let's pull up the calendar. That was March 16th, so that's 1, 2. We're in the last full week of 3. This is the week 3 fully. Yeah, so 21 days.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been through a lot in the last freaking 3 months, man. 3-4 months. But it's good to see you still striving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's good. And I think that's with any, when you decide to be a, you know, a small business owner, it's like you step into the fucking arena.
Yeah.
The fucking arena, dude.
It's like, you're saying that, you're like saying that like so like nicely now. It's like, no, it's not even just an arena. It's like those. It's like Gladiator. Like,
and that's just life. Like, and you're like, no.
You're like, God.
Like Gladiator. You're like Gladiator. Oh, what was that? Marcus Aurelius, and he's trying to get all those like random gladiators together, and you're like, together as one. And then you got the fucking chariots surrounding you, and you're like, fuck this. I'm not going down.
That's exactly like how it feels like, you know, like, and I don't think, you know, I think a lot of guys that like, you know, are thinking about like, you know, oh, owning a gym is so easy. No,
it's not. I you know, it's really interesting because especially this current time right now, I see a lot of people who want to like, it's easy. It's a low barrier to like start your own brand and, you know, mm-hmm. do all these people, like all these like trainers trying to be like influencer trainers and stuff like that. And then create their own brand and create their own things, which is like, cool. That's nice. That's awesome. But it's like another level. It's like they're playing, they're pretending like, oh, look I'm making money or I'm doing this and that. But when you actually decide to actually get into a business, like start your own business, it's like, it's a different level, and it takes a different type of mentality. And you start seeing these like newbies like start washing out, because I get a lot of people who come up to me and they're like, oh, you know, I want to or what was it? They'll apply to become a trainer at HSC. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you want to, you know, why do you want to work for us? Why do you want to be a trainer? Or one of the questions is, why do you want to be a trainer? Or why do you want to pursue this thing as a coach? And like, I want to own a gym. And I'm like, oh, you want to own a gym? I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then, you know, I kind of gauged how interested they are as a coach. And they're like, oh, you know, but if I feel like they're kind of like whimsical or like, just kind of like, it's like a cool thing to say, then it's like, oh, I don't know about this. I rarely see someone really driven to be like, I want to own a fucking gym. And it's like, okay, cool. Do you like sales? And they're like, no. And I'm like, I don't know about sales. Like, you gotta love sales as much as you love coaching, and it's not even like you're selling something you love. That's the caveat. It's not like I'm telling you to sell fucking stocks or sell fucking like a pen or whatever. It's like I'm telling you, like, are you passionate enough to sell and persuade people to do what you love to do? It should be easy. But you'd be it's funny how people are like, no, I don't like sales, or I don't want to do that, or da, 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 da. It's like, but long story short, I'm getting off on a tangent. But long story short, yes, to your point, it's interesting to see more people who want to become a gym owner, or a business owner, and I think it's like kind of a thing, like when you really jump into being in this type of life, it's like there's a lot of adversity and tests that actually test you to see, do you still want to do this? And like for you, the last 3.5 months has been a lot of, do you still want to fucking do this? Like, do you still want to do this? Yeah. And each time you're like, no, fuck you, I'm doing this. Fuck you, I'm doing this. Fuck you again, I'm doing this. Like, and it's good. It's good.
Oh, yeah. I think, like, you know, that's actually like probably the best way to put it. I think the other thing that, you know, like a lot of people don't know about, like, you know, what, like, mentally, like my mental state going through these last 3 months, it was actually not even just mine. It was like, you know, mine and my wife, Crystal, like, you know, like going through this together, it was, yeah, like part of it was like, do you guys still want to do this? Like, is this worth it? But what we actually started like thinking was like, yeah, of course we want to keep doing this. But then it's like, okay, what did we not do? What did we do wrong that time? Because we got a reset. It's like when you hold the reset button, like on your game console, it's like, or like when you quit, like when you're in the middle of a game and you're like,
rage quit.
Yeah. Let me try this level. It's like, let me try this level again. So it's kind of like doing that. Just not like rage quitting, but it's more like we've now have gotten two opportunities to like hit reset and restart over. What did we do good this last time? And then what did we not do so well this last time? And it's more of like, you know, what do I need to own up to this time that I did wrong so that I don't make that mistake again, so that I can continue to move on forward with everybody. And I've come down to like the whole thing of like, you know, some people aren't going to be about it, like, you know, when this whole thing is said and done, you know, some things might change, but then, you know, that's not going to affect me at this point.
Yeah. We were talking about that. Like we talked earlier in that previous conversation, you were talking about how the further you get into this journey, the more you're going to start, the more you realize that you're going to start losing people that you thought were going to be part of your journey, but then it just ended up like not being that way. How has that been for you?
I think it's more like, you know, I think I'm learning very quickly. Like, you know, you can't, you know, my wife actually said something crazy. She's like, you know, if you've known somebody for at least like 3 years, then you'll know, like, you know, if that person's really going to stick around in your life for a long time. And regardless of like, you know, if you take a break, like after that, you know, and I think with what I have now, like, you know, I'm still a young gym. Like, I think one rookie mistake I would give to like any coach, let me just put it that way, not as a business owner, like as a coach, you have to really like create and understand that boundary of being a coach and an athlete. Like, you can't fully invest into it like really soon until there's some level of proof from you as a coach and them as an athlete. And that takes years, years and years and years and years to develop. I have that one relationship with one person that actually trained at your gym, at HSC when I was still there, and still trains with me today. And he lives in New York now. We know his name as Fuqua.
Fuqua, that guy.
So when I met Fuqua, I was actually starting to coach him at that time. I've been coaching Fuqua since 2016. It's been 4 years. And he's still been like, you know, he still is an athlete of mine. So
what about it? That's good.
And he doesn't, like, it's that relationship. Like, you know, he doesn't question anything. You know, everything was like, it's been strictly like a coach-athlete relationship. And then as it progressed, I would say probably like in this last year, like, you know, there's, we talk about more random stuff now. Like, we talk more about, like, we always talk about, like, the food that he's always posting on his Instagram.
That guy's like, man, he always posting hella good food.
But it's like that. Like, you know, it's, I think I'm learning that, like, not saying that it's a late stage thing. It's just like, you know, I wish, like, I understood that sooner, like, to keep it simply platonic until, like, you actually know, like, where that proof of relationship is actually going to be.
I think that's, I mean, that's what you see with a lot of great coaches and their athletes. It's like, if you try to train under a well-known coach, they don't give you the time of day until they see, like, you're committed. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Well, like, oh, I tried to coach with so-and-so, but, like, he didn't even pay attention to me. It's like, well, yeah, bitch, because he didn't prove anything. It's like, you went there for one day on a drop-in. Like, go there every fucking day. Like, that's how you get the attention of, like, because they know what it takes. They know what it takes. These great coaches, like, coaches who've taken people to the championships, all that stuff, and, you know, like, they know what it takes, and it's not an easy journey, and they're not going to waste time on people who are kind of fair weather, you know, participants. They're going to be like, if they see someone coming in at 6 a.m., and they come, they 5 a.m., mm-hmm. they come in every fucking day, and they're fucking working their asses off, and they do that for a year, 2 years straight, and they're like, you're like, oh, hey, well, hey, what's up, man? Like, it's like, because you want, that's a work ethic right there. And then because of that matched work ethic, you can start building rapport and relationship. And that's usually how it's like, it's great. It's great stuff. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, I'll just touch on this really quick. It was like when the first time, like, I actually got a coaching cue and a correction from Coach Spitz was right before I went to the Philippines. It was crazy. It's like, he saw me there like a lot. So in the summer of 2016, like, I went to a training camp with Wes Kiss. I trained with him for 7 days straight. Like, I drove from Sunnyvale to, I was still living in Sunnyvale. I drove from Sunnyvale to San Ramon every day for 2 hours. That's what I did. And then leading up to that competition I did in the Philippines, I went to see Wes every Saturday and Sunday from July all the way to for a whole year, drove there. Then I got, like, the attention. It's like that thing that you just talked about, like, you know, getting noticed by showing up and showing, like, you know, that is what you want to do. Like, that's a real thing. And I think that's something that high level coaches or people that are aspiring to be a high level coach, you have to instill that, like, from the get go. People aren't going to like it, though. And that's the downside to it. Athletes will not like that mentality if that's the kind of coach that you want to be. If you want to be a high-level coach, you have to establish a high-level culture. Like,
the athletes who are mediocre at best will not enjoy that.
Oh, no.
That's the thing. That's what I've seen. It's like, mm-hmm. when you say that, when you have to establish a high level of culture, a high level environment of competing and training and all that stuff. The people who get it, the athletes who get it, you'll attract the people who love that culture. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be, I mean, with any culture, there are going to be people around it like, oh, I don't like that. They're so pretentious. And it's like, well, then you're not in it. You're not what we're trying to do. You don't believe in the morals and the values of what we're trying to build. So it's okay that you disagree with us. But yeah, that because when you think about, like, forging that, you know, that high level of competitiveness or just really want to train, it's going to attract the very few people, because that group in general is very small of wanting to achieve like greatness and going above and beyond and all. It's very small. It's very small. But it's a good, yeah. If you want to be a high level coach, that's what you're going to have to deal with. But I mean, that's the price you pay. But I'm pretty sure if you're willing to go down that route, you're willing to pay any price to fucking do it. So.
Oh yeah. And you know, the last thing that like, you know, that I kind of like, you know, I've tried to instill, but like, I firmly believe in this phrase. It's, and I think you do too. Earn your coach. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say. Earn your coach.
Would you say earn your coach?
Earn your coach.
Earn your coach. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a good thing. No, that's 100%. That's a very good saying. So as you're going through this, quest, how has it been differently when, cause we were talking about how, like, what was it? What were we talking about? Like people were phasing out of your journey.
Yeah.
How has it been? Because there's also a saying that you're not, when you start this journey, mm-hmm. you're not going to finish with the people that you started with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all want to speak to that or how's that?
That's, it's been interesting. Like, you know, I think having the time to actually like think about it now, like, you know, starting to see like the change in this lifting team. Putting it simply, it's interesting because you start to really see like, you know, who's made for this kind of thing. And it's like when you actually like stop caring, like not caring about them as like a person, but like, you know, not necessarily saying like, you know, hey, good luck to you. And like, I wish you the best. Like after you leave, it's like, you kind of see like a sense of release. Cause it's like, man, was that the thing that was holding it back? It was like, was it a person or was it a vibe? Was it energy? But you know, anybody that knows that is like, you know, that has good teams, like whether it's like your staff, like for example, for your staff, like I'm assuming you guys like vibe off energy like 100%.
All the way, bro. You were part of it, man.
I was part of that. And we knew, right? You know, and you know, I don't need to drop any names, but it's like when we felt the energy was off, like it threw everyone off. So you
correct.
You see this
all I can say about that.
Mum's the word. Nice. But it's like the same thing, like, you know, being a coach and then like, you know, you're watching your athletes and then you start to see like, you know, that like those certain athletes started to phase out. I mean, they can say whatever they want about like as the coach or to the coach, to the team, to the gym, whatever. They can say whatever they want about it. But you start to notice like once that's out, that cancer, that's the word that we're using, that cancer's out.
The cancer.
You see the entire atmosphere shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes. And then you start to see like, this is what it's supposed to be. So,
mm-hmm.
But you know, it's also like, you know, you also, but there's that two side to it. Like you want your vibe of your team to be really good. But at the same time, like, you know, you still have like that little bit of empathy towards that person. It's just trying to say like, you know, I need to do this for the greater cause. You'll be fine. I need to worry about who's here and who's going to be here. If you're gone, you're gone. So I think that's the hardest part. I think you can probably elaborate on that one a little bit more.
I think that happens a lot with any type of gym. Like you're always going to have some type of fallout the further, like the longer you're around. Cause it's when you, every little gym has mm-hmm. their own type of community, every own type of culture, and they're going to have their strong personalities and all that stuff. And what you have to do when you lead, like tribes, right? When you lead the tribe, you have your job as the leader, your job as the head coach, from what I've learned in the hard way, is that you need to keep reminding everyone what's the point of like what, why is everyone together? Why is the energy like this? Why is the vibe like this? It's because it's the vision. It's what you're focusing on. It's like the, whatever you're driven towards, right? It's like, this is what we're about. And it's easy to lose control of a like that community when you attract people with like who kind of are in that same mindset. But sometimes they'll have like, well, it's supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be like that. But as the one who's like kind of you founded it and you're leading it, you're like, no, this is the vision. This is what we're doing. And you keep that on that straight line. And sometimes it'll rub people the wrong way, or it's like, well, that's not how I interpret it. And da, 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 da. But it's like, that's not your place to call. Like, it's like, this is the community. This is the culture, you know, and this is how we're going to stick to it. And you mm-hmm. follow the vision. And when you have fallouts of like athletes, lifters, or even staff members, you know, they're going to feel like slighted or be like, oh, so-and-so wasn't like this, or so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da, so-and-so doesn't know what they're doing. That's what happens in any business. And yeah. The truth of that matter is those individuals will act out on certain ways because that's actually how they feel about themselves. It's basically projecting what they're feeling inside to something else. Because they don't know how to internalize. They don't know how to deal with it. If you really pay attention to people who just go out of their way to really like talk shit or whatever, like really slight someone or really go out of their way to be like so-and-so and da-da-da-da doesn't know da-da-da-da or they're doing this wrong or da-da-da. That's cool, but what does that help? You know what I mean? What benefit, how does that improve any type of conversation you're talking with anyone? You know, unless like you're venting to like your friend, you know, or venting to people, oh, my boss sucks and da da da. That's a different story. Like I know my staff, they'll vent about me. And I know exactly what they vent about too. Like I don't pay attention to detail or I'm late on some things and da da. And that's like faults. I know myself, but that's another thing. But to actually go out of your way to like trying to bring down someone's character or what they're trying to build in any type of business culture, it's just a reflection of what that person's going through inside themselves. So as business owners, as people who are leading a cause, we can't let that eat ourselves out. Like eat ourselves or like kind of get to us. And we've all been guilty of letting that kind of come because the pressure of what you're trying to build, it mentally, it fucks you, right? Yeah. But to talk through it, to truly understand where that's coming from, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. And that's how you can move forward with it. It's like, oh, because everyone's human beings, right? Like when you hear someone, you hear someone so-and-so, like, oh, they're talking all this shit or da-da-da-da-da or, you know, these customers are having a horrible experience. And even though you gave them the best experience, but they're like trying to bring down your business. Sometimes people just give 1 stars to companies on Yelp or Google reviews because they just want to do it. You know, it's like that. Hey, it comes with the territory. But it's funny because because they're doing that, it's in a position where they're like kind of looking up at you to try to bring you down. But that means you're kind of flying higher. You're getting better. You're moving forward with what you're trying to do. And the further you go along in this journey, especially one of my business partners keeps reminding me, he reminds me, he goes, Austin, you are a very friendly person and you like to be around people. And I'm going to warn you right now, just being your business partner, the further you get into this, the further you grow your brand and grow your gym and grow your business, you're going to get lonelier. And it's because, and you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with that because the further you go through this journey, you're going to start weeding out people. And that's just the truth. That's the brutal, honest truth of any type of person or any type of journey that requires you to keep going and keep building and keep going. You're going to have like great success and all that fun stuff, but the people you're going to start relying on and trusting and all that stuff, it's going to start that in that inner circle is just going to start going smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's like, you have to be okay with that because when shit hits the fan, when your gym goes on fire, when you have to close down, like you said, you're going to see who you could really, truly trust, like really rely on because those guys are going to be like, Andrew, when and where, what's going on? What do you need me to do? You know? And it's like, oh fuck. Like, you know, like, and those people who can be your ride or dies, they're going to be far and few between. And but it's so important to really acknowledge and understand that once you have that close-knit inner circle of people that you can trust, you're going to be unstoppable. But that fallout that you experience along the way, it really mentally fucks with you, especially people who are really social. Like,
yeah,
that's right. I love to be social. I love to have friends and da 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 da. It really fucks you because you're like, well, what's wrong with me? What happened? But it's like you have to understand that's just kind of the name of the game. That's what happens when you try to when you evolve as a person, when you evolve as a business owner. Sometimes it's hard for other people to accept that or for people to see what you're trying to see. And it's like, you just got to keep pressing forward. If you really, truly believe in what you're trying to do in your cause, then you got to keep pushing forward because at the end of the day, this is why you started. You have to understand why you started and why you're doing what you're doing. So that's kind of my experience with that.
No, you put that like really, like, cause I think that last part you said, like, you know, getting into like a really lonely, it gets lonely. Oh yeah. Like I'm starting to see that now. It's actually kind of scary. Like, because you can only go so long, like, and I think that's also like one of like the biggest mistakes and things that like I've kind of understood is you can't cater to everybody.
Nope.
And I think that's like probably one of the, it's a rookie mistake. I call it, like, I think it's a rookie mistake. Like you can't cater to everybody. Not everybody has the same needs. Like some people are like overly needy too, but you can't cower down to that. Like you have to trust yourself, which is, I think, you know, with this time, like being off, like, and being able to reevaluate, like, I think, you know, taking ownership of that, like, I think that's probably like the one thing to do. But when you take ownership of like, you know, these like small, like, well, not small, just like these realizations that like you come up with, when you take ownership of those, it's like, it's a lonely position because you have to sit with that. You have to sit with that feeling. You have to sit with like, I did make that mistake. I don't need to do it again. But the only person that made that mistake was myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's something like, you know, I think I've learned a lot from that part and going through this transition and this fallout, like, you know, a couple of these fallouts, I think, you know, it also tells me like, you know, I know what kind of people I need to be attracting at this point.
What do they say? You're the sum of the five people you always hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Don't bring down my number. all that shit. Yeah. What was it? So what's the future with Axios now?
Well, the future is, hopefully if it doesn't get pushed out, we are actually hosting two, Olympic weightlifting meets this year.
Hella good.
So I'm assuming I'm probably 100% sure the one in July is going to get pushed out.
Maybe. You could like tape off. You know, 6 feet distance.
Yeah, so I think that's gonna get postponed, which is fine. I'm okay with that. But we do have one in November. So we do have a meet in November. It's actually on the PWA weightlifting website. It's the South County Classic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So,
yeah, the one in July, it was supposed to actually run in congruence with the Garlic Festival, but they canceled the Garlic Festival.
Sad.
Yeah, so if you want to talk about like a whole year's worth, like imagine having to sit through that too, like a shooting, then a burn down, now a pandemic. Yeah, I've gone through it pretty harshly.
Shit. Oh yeah, the shooting in Gilroy, that sucked.
Yeah, so that's like what XES is going through right now. That's, you know, we have a gear line coming out.
You're making gear.
Actually, we have a prototype line that's it's live on a local printer or a local company in Baker. Well, it's not local. He's in Bakersfield. He started his own company, but.
Same state.
Same state. But he's doing, we have everything from quarter zip jackets, pullovers, shorts, singlets, to backpacks, men and women's leggings.
Oh, done deal.
that was the fun one for me. I was like, ooh, I'm gonna make leggings.
Leggings.
Love it.
What else are we doing?
Is it Axios on the ass?
It's actually the wings on the butt.
I love it.
That was the best part of it. Other than that, I know we're supposed to be hosting a powerlifting meet. I just don't know when. Until the calendars get unlocked, like, we don't know. We're actually we're actually going to be hosting a meet with this new federation. Actually, it's not a new federation, with a different federation, WRPF.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're
gonna, okay.
They're the ones that hold the current open.
The US Open. Okay. Cool.
So we're going to be working with them on that meet, or for a meet, just to kind of like do that. And then, you know, just the high school strength conditioning program, you know, that thing's just going to take off. And that's all I'm kind of worried about right now.
That's good. Well, there's a lot of things in the pipeline for Axios. This is exciting, man.
Yeah. Trying to, but you know, I think the number one thing is, like, you know, we got to finally like do our, dude, we still need to do our, amazing race between HSC to Axios.
Hey, so shut up, for real? Oh yeah, that's dude, right. We got to do that. We got to put that together.
That's going to be really long. You know that, right?
Then. We'll put something together.
Take a picture of a cow.
Take a picture of a plane on top of a cow. Like, wait, what? Go to Sonic's and then go to In-N-Out and then go to Breakfast Club. Like, wait, what?
They're gonna be like, these are so far away. Like, there's a point. There's a point.
You could only take one car for eight people. Like, oh shit.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, a fun fact on like these like scavenger hunts, really quick. When I was still living in Sunnyvale, because you put take a picture with all the coaches.
Oh yeah.
Half of them, like, I came home from, I think I was working in San Mateo at the time. I stopped working at Adobe already. I was biking home from the train, and there's seven cars parked next to my house. And I was like, and then I, oh my God, all I see is like, hey coach. I'm like, hey, I need to take a picture with you. Why are you at my house?
Hey, that is my fault, because I totally underestimated how competitive our members were. Yeah. I just said, you know, just find a time, reach out to them. They fucking went to your house and waited, like, well, we're going to get these points.
Did you, like, if you look in your archives, you'll see pictures, like, when I'm, like, I think there was, like, a couple of them when I was in my bike gear. So I'm in, and then there was one, like, I'm wearing, like, a freaking tank top and slippers. I was bringing out my garbage. And I was like, this is not flattering whatsoever.
I need to take a picture of all the staff members. All the staff members.
I know, you like randomly getting texts like, hey, are you home right now? Yeah. Can you come outside? Why?
You know, so they could have just seen you at the gym, but I guess they really wanted those points.
Yeah.
Okay, last question of the episode. I stopped asking this question, but I should start asking it again. One Punch Man or Ultra Instinct Goku?
Shit. You know what? For those that don't know, like, how, like, you know, I think you know, like, I'm a huge, I'm a big, like,
I know.
I have a Goku belt.
I know. You had, like, Goku rings at one point or something like that. You bought, like, Dragon Balls or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so was it Goku or what?
Oh, yeah. Ultra Instinct Goku, because I don't care how strong that, I don't care. I don't care how strong is to Tommy's fucking punches. Goku's gonna, no way. Yeah, no way.
You think so?
100%. Have you been watching on what the hell is that guy that he makes his own videos? I forgot his name. He's on YouTube. He has like this crossover thing with all the animes, and he created this video. If I find it, I'll send it to you. But One Punch Man and Ultra Instinct Goku are actually the last two people standing.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Like fighting against like these made up like villains. So, but I will always put my money on Goku, no matter what. I don't care. That guy is like, that guy is the true epitome of like level up, level do up. Whatever it takes. Like
always.
even a low class warrior can beat a Saiyan elite.
Ah, Kakarot, you can't tell me that.
Exactly.
It's so good. Cool, man. Well, thank you for coming on to the Nerd Out of Workout podcast. We appreciate you having on. Where can people find you? Where can people follow you? Where do you want to send people?
If you want to follow us, you can follow us on social media at Xios Fitness, X-I-O-S Fitness. You can also follow my personal. You have to find me, though. I'm not going to tell everybody my handle. But
First scavenger hunt of the day, guys. Find Coach Andrew's handle on TikTok.
Yeah, I actually just started a TikTok, so let's not do that.
Now we should find the TikTok. Everyone find Coach Andrew De La Cruz's TikTok.
But you know, we're going to be doing, I'm going to be posting like those at home workouts. Like, you know, they're super simple, like, doing the videos, and then I'm probably going to just be doing like live classes twice a week, just for the community. It's also because like, I'm getting really tired doing all the workouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just to everybody that I've ever trained, including at HSC, like, cause I'm using like kind of like the same format when I was teaching there. I'm so sorry.
What?
I'm an asshole. These are hard. And I'm feeling it now. It's like, man, now I know why, like, you know, people enjoy the classes, but also why they gave me glares of like, I fucking hate you.
It gives a new respect to like the P90X guys, or even all those guys who do the men's health like videos where they're like talking while they're doing it. I'm like, okay, five more. Woo!
I know, like sometimes like I'll adjust, like, you know, just a side note, like of camera magic. I'll shift like the camera a little bit this way because it's like, man, I don't want people to see me modify my pushups on this round.
Or just put a clip, just put it on loop, like you're just doing a push-up, like every, like a little, hella perfectly. Yeah, dude, no, it's a lot of like keeping your composure while coaching and doing the movements. That's always fun to try.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, good. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
This is Coach Austin with Coach Andrew in Hyper Strength and Conditioning and Axios Strength and Conditioning with your Nerd Out Workout podcast. And we will see you guys later. Okay, bye.